Well, Lord, we bless you again. We thank you. We look to you for everything in life. We thank you so much that you are with us, that you desire to be with us. You are the living God. You are alive and well. This morning, you're doing amazing stuff. We thank you for your faithfulness and thank you that you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you are always good. We bless you and we thank you so much for our pastor, Pastor Michael. Pray that you would heal his body this morning as he's just fending off some sickness. Thank you for helping him to be on the mend. We just pray that you complete that healing in his body. And anybody else who's feeling under the weather, God, that you would bless them as well this morning with healing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mom. Whoa, wait. Sorry, I'm still feeling a little woo from worship. I just love the fact that we can get in God's presence and we can enjoy his presence together. And there's something so sweet and so beautiful about being able to come together as family. We're the spiritual family of God. We're going to be worshiping the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. And we're always going to be singing, holy, holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy. That is going to be on our lips for all of eternity. And we get a little glimpse of that when we get together like we did this morning and get into his presence. And, you know, it makes me think of this message this morning called Treasure Hunters. How many people love treasure hunting shows? Does anybody like those treasure hunting shows or maybe Antiques Roadshow? Or like there's some of these ones where they were kind of out looking for buried treasure, or, you know, like I forget, it was like, I think it was Lifetime or the Learning Channel, TLC. There were some shows about people who love to go and do treasure hunts. And there's people who will spend so much money to rent all this equipment and they'll go and they'll look for buried treasure. There's, you know, stories of vessels that were in the sea that got sunk and they had a bunch of pirate treasure on them. Or there were some of these other things that, you know, maybe somebody hid some treasure somewhere, this buried treasure. So they go on this treasure hunt. They find these treasure maps and they're on this kind of a lifelong quest to find some treasure. I think all of us love treasure in some way, shape, or form. You know, I love to hunt down deals. I know that Lisa said that, sounded like Karen's been going to the Ark and the Goodwill. Listen, I am a treasure hunter. My wife Jess and I have started a kind of an eBay store, and we like to go and we like to flip stuff. And so we go into the Goodwill, we go into the Ark, and we look for stuff that we can resell on eBay. And it's like a treasure hunt. And you have to go through a lot of other stuff to get to some treasure sometimes. But there's treasure there, if you're willing to look for it. And so that's one way that we kind of look for treasure. But all of us are really treasure hunters. We're on the hunt for treasure. We're building up treasures. And some of us, you know, those treasures are people. We find treasure in relationships. Maybe we find treasure in a romantic relationship with a spouse. Or maybe it's a relationship with a child, one of our kids, or friendship. Can be treasure as well, but we're all yearning for treasure. And it's interesting that I think that God created us in a way to hunt for treasure. He created us with a desire to go out and find treasure. There's this really cool proverb in Proverbs 25, verse 2, and this is the New King James Version. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter." So think about hide and seek. It's the glory of God to conceal something, hide it away. I'm going to put it over here behind this guitar. And the glory of kings, you and I, to go and search a matter out. So he hides things for us to find. But God's the kind of God, I don't think he hides things for us so deep and so profoundly that it can never be found. God desires for us to find the treasures that he has for us. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been a part of an Easter egg hunt for a kid, but imagine, you know, some parent taking these Easter eggs and burying them, you know, 8 feet under the ground and replanting seed and grass and covering it and saying, okay, kids, go and find the eggs. Well, good luck, kids. They're not going to find those eggs. That's not how God hides treasures for us. He hides them kind of like, you know, peeking out. He's like, okay, you know, and he's like, maybe you're over here, hot or cold. He leads us into treasures. It's like a treasure map that he gives us. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search out a matter. Interestingly, so it's like King Solomon is kind of saying like God likes to play this hide and seek in a way. Something about treasure needs to be sought out. Gone after. And all of us are treasure hunters. All of us are looking for things and seeking things out that are valuable. Treasure is valuable. Treasure is precious. But the question is, what is treasure to us? As we know, this infamous passage in Scripture, Matthew 6:19-24, Jesus himself is talking on the Sermon on the Mount. He says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well." That's interesting. And he goes on to talk about the eye being the lamp of the body and, you know, what you let in. And no one can serve two masters. But focusing on that treasure scripture, it's really interesting that the Lord is talking about where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be. Throughout the breadth of the scriptures, there's this kind of correlation, there's a connection between treasures and the heart. It's interesting. It's not just treasure, it's your heart. Where is your heart? In Matthew 12:35, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of evil treasure brings forth evil things." There's a connection between treasure and the heart. So basically, Jesus is teaching us that our hearts are really the birthplace of what we treasure. Our hearts are the birthplace of what we desire, what we find important, what we value. There's a correlation between the heart, and it's pretty simple. Good heart, good desires, good treasure, good fruit. On the other side, bad heart, bad desires, bad treasure, bad fruit. I mean, you know, the Bible isn't rocket science. Although I'm pretty sure that God could do rocket science. I'm pretty sure he invented, you know, the people who invented rockets and the heavens in which the people are getting blasted off to. But listen, it's basically saying if you have a good heart, you'll have good desires and you'll have good treasure and you'll have good fruit in your life. Does anybody here want to have good treasures, good fruit, good things coming out of their lives? Amen? But the opposite side is true as well, that if you have a bad heart with bad desires, then you get bad treasure and bad fruit. Again, we're all hunting down treasure. We're all seeking things in life. We all want things. We all desire things. We all are treasure hunters. We are on the hunt for things. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, but the idea is, where is our heart leading us? Where is our heart leading us? Is it leading us to things that are heavenly, eternal treasures that are good, that are lasting, that are important eternally? Or is our heart bent toward treasures that are going to fade away? They might provide a sense of comfort or security right now, but ultimately are going to leave us unfulfilled. I think a lot of us at times can get sucked into the trap of wanting treasures that really aren't the best things for us. Amen? So who gets to decide what is actually good treasure? Who gets to decide, well, that's good, that's bad, that's bad, that's good? Who actually gets to decide that? I would say that there's only one person who gets to decide what is ultimately good and what is ultimately bad. That's the Lord. The Lord himself, the author, the creator of life, the one who breathed our very universe into existence, and boom, we've got the skies and space and darkness and light and planets and animals and people. By his very breath, he created us. I would say that that creator God gets to decide what is good and what is bad. And he knows that the human heart is prone to corruption. He knows that we are easily led astray. We are like sheep that are gone astray. We are like sheep that sometimes will follow another master. We'll listen to voices that aren't going to lead us to life. We'll follow pursuits out of the desires of our hearts that will end us in turmoil. Let me get real practical. Maybe that looks like desiring a relationship that's not a godly relationship because we're lonely and out of a heart of brokenness, we're pursuing something that's actually toxic and going to hurt us and not godly and life-giving. Come on now. Anybody ever been there? Oh, Lord. Been there, done that. Maybe that looks like trying to keep up with the Joneses and always wondering why the neighbor has this and the neighbor has that and trying to say, well, where am I at with my finances? Well, how come I can't have this? How come I don't have that? And trying to pursue and grind and being envious and jealous and wanting material things to feed our heart. Some of us have been down that road as well. We're all treasure hunters. But biblically, God gets to decide what is good. He wants us to say, he says, store up treasures in heaven. How do we even do that? What's that look like to store up treasures in heaven? Does that just mean to do good stuff? What's that mean to do? I believe that one of these things, one of these ways that we can store up treasures in heaven is to pursue things of the Spirit, things that are eternal. What about the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22 and 23? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Eternal things. Amen? Pursuing those things. That's that when we go after those things, we're actually storing up ourselves treasures in heaven. I don't know about you. Why? I think that one of my treasures in heaven is I'm going to have a hair like Fabio. Y'all remember Fabio? He had those locks. He just had that hair flowing. I think that when I'm asking the Lord, Lord, would you just restore my hair follicles? Can that be one of my treasures that I get in heaven? Y'all are going to see me say, Simon, that hair looks good in heaven. And it's always going to have like a wind blowing it. You know, it's always going to be blowing back like I'm riding a Harley. It's going to look great. I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to get beautiful hair follicles. But listen, while I'm here, I want to store up treasures in heaven. We don't get to take a single thing with us when we die. That's one of the things. If you've been to a funeral, you've been to memorial service for a person that's rich, listen, it's the same thing as you go to a memorial service or funeral for a person that's poor. Same thing. I don't care if that box they're putting us into the ground is worth $25,000 or $2. Cardboard box, it's a box. We don't get to take it with us. So what are we doing spending our time on? What are we investing in? God wants us to ask for things like wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. Oh man, wisdom is one of those things that helps us to build up treasures in heaven. Listen, I want to read this scripture. This is beautiful from Proverbs 2, says this. We're going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to go by it fairly quickly. It says this. This is Solomon talking. It says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom," say wisdom, "and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as you look for silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success," say success, "in store for the upright." Anybody want to be successful? Yeah? "He holds that for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk is blameless." Anybody want to be shielded from the attacks of the enemy? "He guards the course of the just." We're guarded. He protects us and protects the way of the faithful ones. He protects us. "You will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasure to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men and from men whose words are perverse, who have left straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in wrongdoing and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman." Amen. "And the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her path to the spirits of the dead. None go with her will return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn down from it." We should desire wisdom. We build up treasures for ourselves in heaven when we desire to be wise, not to build earthly, just monetary wealth. And listen, I'm not saying anything. If you've got money, you know, God bless you. That's great. Nothing wrong with money in and of itself. But I remember one time I had a dream, and I like to have fun. I'm a joy-filled person. My family, I believe, has a gift of joy and an anointing, actually, from the Lord for joy and excitement. And I remember this dream one time. And in this dream, I was having a good time, and the Lord said, "Simon, your family has an anointing for joy." I said, "Awesome, amen, I like that." And he also said, "Simon, sometimes you have fun, and sometimes fun has you." Uh-oh. "Simon, sometimes you have fun, and sometimes fun has you." I would say, "Simon, sometimes you have money, and sometimes money has you." Are there things that have us versus us having them? This is a matter of the heart. There's matters of the heart. If we want some change in our life, if we realize, man, you know, Lord, I have some of these things I've been pursuing, I've been giving my life toward that are not earth or that are not eternal things, these things that are less than. Listen, God wants us to come before him and ask, seek, and knock. Because as we know, Scripture says in Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you're going to find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For anyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And then the Lord goes on. That's not enough for the Lord. He goes on to say, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, is going to give him a stone? You come to me wanting good things. You come to me wanting wisdom, wanting love, wanting patience, wanting all the good things that I have. You come to me, I'm not going to give you a stone. If you're hungry, I'm not going to give you a rock. I'm going to feed you bread. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do unto others as you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. Listen, God delights in us desiring eternal pleasures, eternal rewards. But again, because it's tied to the heart, it's a heart issue. And I want to say, no one here can heal your own heart. We can't heal our own heart issues. We can't be good enough. We can't desire enough things in our own hearts because our hearts are wicked. They're prone to being led astray. Only God can come and redeem our hearts. Only Jesus can come and set us free. Only the blood of Jesus can wash us, can cleanse us, can give us a heart and a new desire for something more than just what we can touch. We want to live for more than what we see with our eyes. We want to live with eternity in mind. Amen? And that we can only do that when the Lord comes and sanctifies and sets us free. One of the most profound things in the world is that you and I are God's favorite thing in the universe. That blows my mind. It's said that you can tell how much somebody values something by the price they're willing to pay for it. You're worth the blood of Jesus. 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 You are worth the blood of Jesus. He paid the ultimate price for us. He's the first treasure hunter. He was seeing something beyond what was seen with the eyes, and he was looking at our hearts, and he was saying, you know what? I know they kind of screwed up. I know they kind of messed up, but I love them. I'm going to go and die for them. I'm going to go do for them what they can't do for themselves. I'm going to set them free. I'm going to say those bondage and that chains are no longer going to confine them. I'm going to set them free to everything that I've created them to be. The original treasure hunter is God, and we are created in his image. Amen? He hunted us down. He found us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Paid the price for us. Set us free. Loved us. Sometimes we get into this thing of like, God, I don't even know. I'm not good enough to receive your gifts. I'm not good enough for you. And I just feel so weak. And so, well, he's like, I know you're weak. Listen, it's not about you. I know you. I know where you're at. Come on. You think this and you're telling me something I don't know? Like God's surprised that like, oh, you're weak and frail and kind of a mess sometimes. Oh, I didn't know that. He knows everything about us. He just wants us to be available. He just wants us to say yes to him. He says, he wants us to say, you know what? Embrace your life as a treasure of mine. The greatest treasure. You know, sometimes I'll see these YouTube shorts and I see these YouTube things and I watch this one time of these professional musicians. And as you can imagine, professional musicians who are like of this high caliber, they usually play very nice instruments. They usually play instruments that, they're worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But I watched this thing where some of these professional musicians were playing just very basic instruments. And you know what? That music sounded good. That music sounded really good. Because it's not so much about the instrument as it is the maker. It's not so much about the instruments being performed on, it's the one who's performing. Same thing in our own lives. It's not so much about us and what we can do. It's the one who's moving in our lives to be able to affect the world around us. Amen? He says, you're my treasure. I was willing to pour out myself for you. Won't you come? Won't you pour yourself out for me? He led by example. Let's all stand this morning. God desires for us to participate with him and to say yes to him. And when we do, you know, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is John 15. I love John 15. Well, John 15 is something so beautiful, and one of my favorite verses inside John 15 is John 15, 5, where Jesus says that I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. How many people want to bear much fruit for God's kingdom? How many people want to live a fruitful existence where we can look the people in the eye sitting on our deathbed and said, you know what? I gave it all for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's about to receive me. I'm going to go see him, and we're going to both have a big old smile on our face. And I've done what I needed to do. I've accomplished what I needed to accomplish in this life. Because I wasn't living for what I'm seeing right now. I'm not living for this decaying body. I'm not living to just try to fulfill some desires of the flesh, to be comfortable. I'm living for the King of Kings. I'm living for Jesus, the Messiah, the one true Son of God, who gave himself for me so that I can live for him. That's who I'm living for. That's what I desire. Amen? Listen, as we just sing this last song, as Lisa mentioned, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year is coming up. How many people are ready for a new beginning? Amen? How many people are ready to say, out with the old, in with the new? Amen? So Wednesday night, you know, there is going to be a lot about that, celebrating the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with trumpets and who he is. But it's also this fresh start. His mercies are new every morning. He loves us and he's for us. So why don't we pray, turn our hearts to the Lord and ask God that he would help us to seek out heavenly treasures. And then we'll sing this. Well, Lord, we love you. We love you. We love God, we love your presence. Lord, we love how you move. We love how you take our lives, Lord, and you flip them upside down for the best. We love how you change our hearts and how you rearrange our desires and the things that we want. And Lord, as we come before you, even right now in this place, we know that it's only you who can help our hearts to desire good things, to be unselfish, and to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moths don't break in, where moths don't deteriorate and thieves don't break in and steal. Lord, we want you to lead us and to guide us into desiring heavenly treasures, not to live for the here and now. But Lord, we want to be treasure hunters for you. We love you. We love you and we honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, let's conclude this service with the Aaronic blessing. And this is the blessing out of Numbers 6:24. This morning, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you today. And may the Lord grant you his peace. And in the Hebrew, Yivarecheha Adonai
V'yishmarecha Yo'er Adonai panav aleicha V'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav aleicha V'yasem lecha Shalom.
Go forth in the blessing and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.